Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to your place tonight. This is Joy. We're having the show on the topic of Christmas, which makes sense since it's just a couple of days away now. Seems like just blinked and it was Christmas last year. But I'm really excited about it this year, and I'm excited about the show and hearing everybody's thoughts on the subject. And let's bring Wild Bill. He's somewhere having a white Christmas so far. How are you doing, Wild Bill?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
I am up in Buffalo, New York. I just passed the exit to get off to go to Niagara Falls, and I think that I could actually hear ice cubes going over the falls and clinking along the bottom of the river. So it would not be a romantic time to go there. I don't know what the temperature is, but I can tell you it's fur cold. But, yeah, I apologize for not really having a Christmas song for today, but I was going through what little library I have on my laptop out here on the road with me, and that song sort of seemed to really fit, you know, in some ways. Christmas is a real unusual time of year for a lot of people, and it's, you know, you can talk about the political aspect of it, about, you know, different cities and government buildings that no longer allowed to put up nativity scenes and what you think about that, or, you know, you can take time to think about, you know, all the aspects of the commercialism of Christmas, how a lot of the retailers, from what I understand, that this is when they actually start getting into the black, you know, for the whole year. That's why they call it Black Friday, right after Thanksgiving, because that's when things really kick off and they start making their profits, and the rest of the year, I guess they just survive. It makes you wonder why in the world they do it, but I guess they look forward to that end of the year rush. And then, you know, there's also that aspect of Christmas, you know, actually coming from its roots being a pagan holiday, and how that, you know, it was merged into being Christmas and the different symbolism and everything that went from the pagan holiday that was carried over to be the religious holiday. And then there's that aspect of just sitting back and thinking that the Almighty God robed himself in flesh because he loved us so much, and he knew that we didn't have any way of making it without him, without that shedding of blood. He set up our principle, and it's something to me to know that we serve a God of honor that didn't just change the rules and say, okay, well, that blood thing, that was for the lambs and sheep, but, you know, I think I'm going to do something a little different when it comes to making a sacrifice for mankind, but he didn't do that. And so, you know, you get to look at it from that standpoint. And with me, this time of year, I really take time to think about family. And as you get older, you have more and more family that you lose, people that were close to you, that impacted your life. And so you get to thinking about those people, and I get to thinking about some of the fun things from past, back when you were a child and things. And I also take personal stock, like a personal inventory, of where I am in my life, you know, at this time of year. I don't know why, just one of those things that I do. And then I just think about the love of my family and the people that I care about, and, you know, what can I do to make things better for them and to show my love and appreciation, you know, that maybe I didn't do, you know, the year before, and just really take time to just relax and enjoy family. But the reason we call this show Your Place is because we want everyone to be able to share whatever's on their heart. But one thing I do want to say, we live in a very real world. You know, we kind of fantasize about things in our days to what we want it to be. But we had our soldier from Afghanistan that was on the show last week through the chat room. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to stop and remember that we have young men and women who answer the call to serve for this great country that we live in, that they weren't home for Thanksgiving. They're not home for Christmas. When they go to work each day, they got to wonder if they're going to come home to their barracks at the end of that day, or if their buddy is going to come home at the end of that day, or even if they just have a service job in the military, they're not on the front lines. They know that the job that they're doing is all part of a huge machine to get the job done. And, you know, there's a lot of things about God's word I don't understand. Me and Block Top Mom was talking about some of these yesterday, and, you know, there's some things they talk about, you know, we're not name it and claim it kind of thing, and I sort of understand, but I don't understand some of that. But I do know that there's a power in blessing, and if we could all bless these men and women that maybe that they could be blessed with a sixth sense, that God would come in, kind of like the Holy Ghost does, you know, when you're fixing the mess up or there's a barrier coming up, you're like, whoa, we need to stay away from error, you need to watch that. You know, there's something there that will kick in to let these young men and women know, hey, there's something ahead, extra caution, be careful. You know, just, and I don't even know if that's the right thing to pray, but I really felt within me that if there was anything I wanted to bless these young men and women with, is that because I know he's with the group out of Clarksville. So we're trying to get these guys home. I think there's over 5,000 people in their unit, and they're sending them home 100 to 200 people at a time. My son is stationed there, so he knows a little bit about this. And I know this is kind of a strange thing to mention, and I've mentioned this before when we were, you know, talking with Sergeant Mullinax about the PTSD. There is some really good informational movies out there, and that one, Home of the Brave, if you're coming home, you need to get that and sit down with your family and watch that first thing off the bat. And if you see that you're falling into some of the same things that those men and women are, get help. Go to your pastor. Ask your church to pray for you. Go let the military know. Don't just suck it up and drive on like the military tells you to do. This is something that's serious, and a lot of our young men and women are having to deal with because of what they're facing over there. And I just want to say thank you, everyone, and know that you're in my prayers every day. And, Joy, I'd like to go ahead and see if we can open it up and see if anybody wants to come out and just start sharing with us, you know, what they're thinking about in regard to Christmas.
All right, and I didn't remind you all. I know the little British lady on the line told you that if you get ready to talk, press 1, and I'll bring you online. In the meantime, if you want me to, well, Bill, I'll read that thing I wrote about Christmas in 06.
Yeah, please.
Christmas collage. This was for they gathered people's stories at our church and put them in a book. I love Christmas. I love everything about it, the lights, the music, the beautifully wrapped gifts. I love the candles, the cards, and the TV Christmas specials. Oh, how I love the stockings and decorating the tree. I guess you get the picture. I love Christmas. But you can take away all the things I just named, and I would still love Christmas. I know this because between the ages of 9 to 23, those things weren't part of my personal holiday season. I still saw the decorations and heard the music, but my mother had come to the conviction that we should not celebrate the day because of its pagan origins. I don't think she had many pleasant associations with Christmas anyway. It seems her childhood Christmases were characterized by drunkenness, jealousy, and strife. My father had had some issues with Christmas as well. He felt strongly about never telling me that Santa Claus was real. As the child of a sharecropping family, he grew up in life-threatening poverty. No matter how good a little boy or girl you were, you'd be lucky to have enough food for Christmas. He saw some of the most heartless of his classmates get showered with gifts, and he didn't like the dishonesty of this supposedly having to do with merit. So it wasn't that much of a leap for my family to just skip the traditional celebration, and it surprisingly changed very little. We still had the days off from school, the inclement weather, amazing amounts of delicious food, and family togetherness. We even had gifts, although we didn't call them Christmas presents. My parents would give us money, and we would hit the after Christmas sales. The thing that stays the same, no matter how many of its symbols you include or exclude, is what makes Christmas wonderful to me. It's a feeling in the air, like love has taken center stage and is enjoying some time in the limelight. Coming at the end of the year as it does seems to make it a time of reflection. Lending itself to the making of lasting memories as it does, it's a time of intensity in relationships. I do acknowledge that there's a melancholy to some of these reflections and memories because it brings to mind those we love who are no longer with us in body. Even that is sweet to me. It drives home that the love we give is never gone, even when it appears we are. It's like the words of the angel from so long ago reverberate through our consciousness and help us manifest our highest ideals. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. But this isn't meant to be an essay about why I love Christmas. This is meant to share a specific memory. I've spent the last couple of days fondly reminiscing about Christmas's past and trying to choose the one that stood out above all others. Would it be my first Christmas memory, a white-flocked tree and a mountain of presents? How about the chuckle with which Daddy always told the story about my answer when, as a tiny girl, a man asked me what Santa Claus was going to get me for Christmas? Nothing, but my daddy is going to get me a doll, I said. Although I'm cloudy about whether I remember saying it, I sure remember him telling it. How about Christmas of 72, the first year that we did away with all the pagan ritual? We actually delivered firewood on Christmas Eve. We were dressed in our work clothes, and we seemed to touch the hearts of the people in the swanky apartment complex where we knocked on doors to ask if they would like to buy any firewood. They had no idea how much fun we were having. We sold all the wood we had in our truck, and I even got some tips. What a warm and wonderful time we had working together as a family. I remember the smell of the wood, the laughter, the four of us squeezed into the cab of the truck. Another standout memory, although I wouldn't have thought so until it just kept surfacing during this time of contemplation, is of singing in a Christmas concert. When I was 15, we started going to a church that celebrated Christmas. We sat out of the Christmas activities the first year, but I was a lead in the choir, and by the second year, I finally did come to participate in the Christmas concert. Oh, joy, I still get chills as I recall singing, "An angel from long ago bent down to earth below, and to Mary whispered low." Then the choir came in with soft, hushed harmony, "Call his name Jesus." I was sure I had found the memory to share when I reflected on the sweetness of my return to a full-fledged Christmas. I left my religion as a very young woman and was quite lost and alone as a result. Luckily, I met a wonderful young man who had left his country, and we decided to find our way together. Ash had never celebrated Christmas but loved it like I did. We bought a Christmas tree and decorated it. While I'm sure it was tacky and gaudy, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. We're married now, and the joy of all of our Christmases, 19 so far, which that's not true, now it's 22, has been added to by sharing them with our beautiful sons, Jonathan and Kevin. Lost in reverie with the snapshots of all these wonderful moments forming a collage in my mind, suddenly I knew without a doubt which Christmas story I wanted to tell. As wonderful as they all are, Christmas 2003 is the one that holds my most precious memories. My strong, healthy, young at 65 father, was diagnosed with cancer that November. I was with him when he got the news that he only had a few months to live, and it rocked me to my core. He had embraced Christmas, really, since the arrival of grandchildren, but wholeheartedly since his divorce from my mother a few years previously. Led by his characteristic generosity of spirit, we made our last Christmas memories together. Daddy had always been extravagant with his gift giving, but he topped himself when he gave me $1,000 to buy gifts for my family. "Let's make this a good Christmas," he said. I had been more in a mood of let's skip Christmas, thinking that I was in too much pain to focus on a celebration. I started to say something to that effect, but as we looked into each other's eyes, a silent pact was made. My consciousness shifted. We were blessed that we knew it was our last Christmas. There are probably many people who would love to have this opportunity. We would celebrate the fact that we had this chance to love and be loved by him. Every little thing took on a preciousness that's difficult to describe. In the best of times, Daddy was challenging to shop for. This year, I felt almost frantic. I was delighted when I found a backlit picture of New York with moving water and sound. The Twin Towers were featured, and Daddy had been looking for a picture of them. He loved it and proudly hung it and showed it with pride to everyone who came over. I knew just how much it meant to him when, during an emotional exchange with one of his closest friends, Daddy said that with my permission, he wanted the picture to go to that friend when he died. He wanted a symbol to show how much he cared, and I was moved to have provided him with that symbol. Daddy loved candied yams, and for the past few Christmas dinners, they had become one of my contributions. This year, the intensity of love I put into that dish was almost overwhelming. Daddy and I let ourselves be talked into a new recipe, and I didn't feel like they came out exactly how he liked them, but he made over them anyway. I would hear him from the other room saying, "My baby made those," and I would well up with love and happiness. When we would start pulling out leftovers, Daddy would say, "I hope we still have some of those sweet potatoes," and he claimed them as the supply started getting low. "Those are mine. My baby made them for me." He didn't make a big production of it, but he said a lot of little things like that during those precious months, words I will cherish forever. once when there was all sorts of activity going on and several people claiming my attention. My youngest son, unaccustomed to sharing his mom this much, was vying for his spot in the lineup. I asked the grown-ups to hold on a minute and turned to Kevin to find out what he so badly wanted to tell me. I didn't realize that Daddy had been observing all this. "You really are a good mother," he said. I still tear up this memory. Daddy faced death with a clarity and courage that amazed even the hospice workers, who had certainly been witness to more than their share of exit scenes. "No one really knows what happens next," he would say with almost excitement. "Pretty soon I'm going to know. This will be our third," that's not true either, "Christmas since Daddy passed over. We've been pleasantly surprised at how much he is still part of us. Even though we do miss getting to hug him and to hear his voice, the love we shared is always present and as real as ever, especially at Christmas." I'm
that
done.
Awesome. You should write a book. You should nano.
Think I will.
That was
although
beautiful.
It's not 3 years, it's what now? This is the fifth without him.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of hits home everything that I was talking about, but in a much more poetic manner of, you know, how we all have things that we look at and remember. And it's, I don't know why, this is so funny. I still remember little, having that little silver Christmas tree that had little tubes, and you pulled each limb out, and then we had that light with the four colors in it that spun around and around, and we just thought that was just the greatest thing that there ever was. And then Lisa had put a post on Facebook the other day of Elvis Presley singing, and I was remembering how we had that 8-track tape player in that old Mustang, and you and I are doing our best to try to sing the backup parts.
I was being Elvis. You were singing the backup parts.
Well, I couldn't be Elvis if you were Elvis. So.
I know. That's what made it funny for a little bitty me to be trying to belt out Elvis and then you do the woo-woo.
that particular time, that's when we had I remember you got the Miss Beasley doll that talked, and then we had that. You know, service stations used to have a thing that when you went in, you could buy gas, and they had other little things you could get if you got so many gallons of stuff. And we got that Santa Claus that you could pull the string, and he had all those little funny things that he would say. And I can remember, you know, that time, you know. Of course, that was a long, long, long time ago now. So
that's,
really
that Christmas really stands out to me, too. That's strange, isn't it?
That was the, I think, well, no, I'm not sure. I think that was the first year that they gave us money and let us pick our own. Yes, but I don't think so, because that was the year that Mom left her wallet in a payphone, which sounds really funny now because I don't think there are phone booths anymore. But I remember she was frantic that, you know, that money was going to be gone. It was over by Casa Bonita in Little Rock. So it's funny how some things can be so clear, and then you try to remember what you did yesterday and you can't remember. Does anybody else raise their hand? Do I have any thoughts about any of this that's been said so far?
Nope. If you guys want to share something about Christmas, press 1. I think Blog Talk Mom's feeling sorry for us. She's going to pop on the line. Do you have us on speakerphone, Mama, because we're getting some echo?
No, I was facing the computer. I can. And now is it better?
Are you listening through the computer?
No.
I don't know.
I don't hear the echo now, but I did hear it.
I was facing the probably coming back forth somehow, but I'll turn this way.
Okay.
I want to say that was one of the most beautiful pieces of literature I have ever heard in my life.
You might be a little prejudiced.
No, I mean, Joy Bells, that was wonderful that you led up to it. I mean, it was just awesome, and I do want to read your books and help you in any way I can to get them whatever
written.
You need to do to get, finish it up, because I know that last little go-around, mine's been on the shelf. I just can't get that last little, maybe didn't all that little, edit it, get it ready.
Yeah, you get the creative urge kind of past, and then it just feels overwhelming to actually go through and clean it all up and make it perfect.
It really does. I can't, the organizational part of my brain just doesn't kick in. But
yours is so close, though.
Pardon?
Yours is a lot closer than mine to being completed.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, you almost have it, don't you?
Well, I've got it in chapters, and I've got it, you know, it's in a format, but it just, I don't know. It just, like you said, that feeling that you had, after you read it so many times, you think, that's really stupid. I don't really think anybody want to hear that. But
that's a bestseller.
Joyce, say, just a minute. Was there an echo in your mic, Ron?
I didn't hear it, but you can't hear yours, can you?
No, I can't hear it. But
Bill, is mine doing it? I'll turn mine off and see if that helps.
What do you mean? Like you won't be there?
Right.
No, don't do that. And I think if Sister Kaiser, if she hears it on hers, it may be hers.
But she's not turned on.
Yeah,
everybody's echoing now for some reason.
Oh, really? Okay, I'm going to turn off. I'm going to go back off, Ron, and then I'll come back in a minute because it happened when I came on, okay?
Okay.
All right. Or turn me off. I don't know how.
Okay. I've clicked you. Yep, you're turned off now. Well, she didn't get to share anything about Christmas because we got all off on writing. Let's see. I think this may be Sister Kaiser here. Let's bring her on and see if we get echo then. Is this you, Sister Kaiser?
Yes, it is, Joanne. It's not echoing. But there for a while, when she first clicked on, it sounds just like a big 18-wheeler with a lot of echo, you know, reverb.
Yeah, I could hear it on hers. I don't know why
that
was happening.
Yeah, but now you're clear.
She said she didn't have it on speakerphone or anything, so I don't know what was going on there.
Something did happen, but it's clear now. And she's right. That was great what you had written, and it's beautiful, beautiful written lyrics of The Christmases and Your Dad. It's sweet. My remembrance of Christmases are not anything like that. We were kind of the people across the tracks kind of folks. We didn't have a lot, and we never had any money. We were farmers, and we lived from the land, you know. But every Christmas, every year, I can still see my dad's face. He worked away from home, and came home on the weekends. Most of the time, sometimes he wasn't able to come home. At any rate, we just struggled by, you know, piece by piece. But at that time of the year, the Lord somehow blessed him. He would bring home huge boxes of oranges, apples, Brazilian nuts, all kinds of, like, pecans. And also, every child got $5.
Ooh!
We had to go to, Walmart. And buy our own clothing for the rest of the year, you know, but it put into our hands. And there was no limit on what we could eat as far as eat an apple any time or an orange any time.
Yeah.
And we could eat all the nuts we could crack. And that was that was our Christmas. We never had a tree. My mother and daddy never had the money. I've never had a store-bought toy all my life. Although I never felt left because I knew everybody was doing all they could do.
Right.
So we don't have anything. But I do remember one particular time, getting close to Christmas, my mother and daddy always went down to the, I hope you don't think this is bad, but they always went to the dump around the 5th or 6th of the month because a lot of people who are rich threw away good things.
Yeah.
But one particular time, because my mom and dad has 5 girls, and we never had a doll, never had stuff like that, but we had each other, and we had the Lord. And they came home. They had found a lot of dolls. And so my dad took one of the dolls apart. He had some that had no legs or a leg or a head or no head. But he made all of us girls a doll out of all the pieces.
Oh, I love that.
And baptized them, and mother made the clothes, and we were the happiest kids you've ever. I wish today I'd have kept one of those dolls. It is amazing, and it brought joy and happiness to us. Never, never forgot.
And that's what I mean. That's what I was trying to convey, that it's really it's nice every once in a while. You know, like that year I had all that money because Daddy gave it to me, but then on the other hand, I would have traded, you know, it would have been much better to be totally poor and have Daddy. And for the last couple of years, we don't have any money at Christmas, and I have found that I couldn't care less. That's not the point. And we are all blessed that we've got food, that it does, you know, turn around, that we can have some special food and spend that time together. And sometimes I think almost, that those Christmases, like that story you just told, it's more poignant. You feel more intensely that feeling of love and connection than you do on the years that you've got tons of money and you spend all kinds of money and buy people stuff they don't even need or want. It reminds me, like on the Waltons, or I don't think you've ever watched TV, but the Waltons is about people, this huge family during the Depression, and they're all just trying to figure out what they can do to give so that everybody has a present. And it, somehow it's more touching and more Christmassy to me.
Sure, and you know, we just, I'll just say this one instant. At one period of time, we always loved the commodity cheese. All of our neighbors, they really were richer than us, and they all got food stamps and commodities, and we never got any at all, anything.
Huh.
So Mother still time, she said, I don't know how, she said, I would sort the Lord, I would love to have a box of that government cheese. Well, we couldn't. So the very next day, a little girl walked over and said, Miss Marine, Mother said she's sorry it's not any more than this, but she had this much cheese left, and she would know if you want it. Sure, darling. Thank you. So when she left, I said, Mother, we're going to eat it now. She said, no, let's put it in the refrigerator. Let's just see what God will do. And, Joy, I want you to know the whole week people kept coming by, and by the end of the week, we had a full-size box of that cheese, piece by piece by piece.
Oh, my goodness.
And Mother sliced it real thin, and she put made us that cheese toast in the oven. You talking about happiness and a cup of hot chocolate in the wintertime at Christmas. I tell you, God knows how to do it when our intention is right.
Exactly.
We didn't have any money. And it's just a blessing, you know, God. We had a man in my church that worked at the food distribution place in McComb, Mississippi. He would bring us boxes of groceries, and it would be wilted lettuce. It would be almost brown bananas. And I said, Mama, where are we going to eat that? She said, darling, we are going to eat this. We're going to fry this wilted lettuce. And she did. And we're going to
never heard of fried lettuce.
Yeah. And then he bought a lot of cans, bent and labels. And I said, well, of course, we had two, three boxes. I said, well, Mother, how are we going to know what we're going to eat? She said, darling, we're going to have surprise supper every night. That's what life really is about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it ties in with what we talked about last week about gratitude. It's not about waiting for everything to be perfect and to have everything you can think of that you want.
Right.
It's about
right.
being grateful for all that you do have, and we all have so much, and just changing our focus. We can get so spoiled and I know that there's things that knock you down and hurt, and you have to go through that too to be real. But at the end of the day, whenever you reflect on everything that you do have, it just fills you up with happiness.
Oh, it does. And one of the main things, I don't want to be too long here, but I want you to know that my mother, if you saw her, you thought she was a millionaire. I mean, she just had the countenance of joy and happiness, and she was the first person to praise the Lord, the first person to shout, the first person to give testimony, the first person to go when there's a need. She had
wow.
the least.
She was a millionaire.
She was. She was a millionaire in faith. But I want you to know that we had a friend that came that moved from England that came our neighbor. And so one day she came up to the house, and she called up. My mother's name was Marina. She called her V. She says, V, I've just returned from England, and I have gotten you a gift. I want you to send Linda out to the car and get it from the boot. I didn't know the boot was the trunk. So before I tell you the rest of that, my mother had always thought that having a mink coat would be super fancy. She would feel like a millionaire. And this woman had brought her from England a wonderful, sweet mink coat.
Wow.
So she was rich. I
yep.
can go. There are hundreds of stores. In fact, we need to write a book. It's unbelievable. But in this time of the year, God just sent certain people our way. One man just pulled up in our yard and said, I don't know how hard I passed by, and said, I just want to bless y'all with this. And it was $100.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what? That little song, little as much if God is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Labor not for wealth and gain. So we give it all to the Lord, and he makes the difference.
Exactly. And the opposite, you know, if you don't have that, you can have all the money in the world and still not be happy.
And be miserable and commit suicide and have horrible things.
Right.
So we live on an absolute shoestring. But you know what? God always, always, somehow, we raised large crops, we worked hard, and God honored her faith, you know, faith has to have hands and feet and arms, but God put it together. We worked for it, and it just blessed us abundantly.
I can't believe she ended up with a mink coat. I love that. You should write all this down.
My sister Barbara still has a mink coat. You're right. I've got a lot. In fact, my mother had started writing a book, and before she passed, I have the beginnings of that book, and I took the books in my head. I need to get around to getting. But we have some miraculous stories of healing, and but this season of the year, when everybody's spending money they don't have, buying things they don't need to impress people they don't even know, I'm thankful to realize that my mother put things in us through the Holy Ghost and God's wisdom, also to people that were instruments that God sent our way, angels in disguise. And I'm going to tell you one short one in closing. Can I do that?
Yes.
This was not in the Christmas season. It was in harvest time. And we did all the crops ourselves, you know, and so we worked from 5 o'clock in the morning to the dark at night. And this one day, we had nothing for breakfast, so we went to work in the fields, and at noon we came up to under a tree, and while we had a gallon of water to drink for dinner. So when it came dark, we got home, we was washing up, and mother said, girls, come wash up and set the table. We didn't know. We thought we had something good to eat. And Joy, this is can be backed up by the lady who did its relatives and my siblings can verify this. I want you to know, that's why mother said, girls, let's go in and have a song. We always sang. We all had worship every day. In prayer, she said, let's sing a song. We began singing, playing the piano, and then we started to have prayer. And she said, no, about 9 o'clock, and we've not had a bite of food in our mouth at all. And worked in the fields all day long. Mm-hmm. And a knock came on the door, and there was a lady standing there with tears in her face. And mother said, Sister Christine, does somebody need me to church? Do I need to go pray for somebody? She said, well, come on in. And this lady came in, she was in a robe, and she said, I was down praying, Sister Marina, and the Lord told me you don't have anything to feed these kids. And she came bringing boxes of groceries.
Oh, my goodness.
And they had helped my mother prepare a meal, and we were eating at 10:30 that night and had food for 2 weeks.
Oh.
So I was raised with a mother that absolutely taught us, trust God, live by faith, and God has never failed us.
I love that. I love that. That's a wonderful story. You've got a lot of them, don't you?
More than that.
You'll be like me. When they said at our church for us to write about a memory, they don't think they meant for me to throw every memory I'd ever had in there, but there's so many kept coming up to the surface. But, yeah, you could do a whole one just on
thank you, and
these kind of blessings.
Sorry. Yes, and thank you, and Bill, for having this program and for the opportunity, and I'll hang and let somebody else give something in.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Kaiser. I really enjoyed everything you had to say. Did you want to say anything to her, Bill?
I really enjoyed it. You have always been a real blessing, and I just want to thank you for sharing with everybody. And, you know, it's just when you live by faith and walk by faith, it shows in that what happens in your life. I mean, I don't know if you remember, Joy, we lived on a farm. We had that time where we were not doing real well financially, and we had bought groceries at the little store in Perryville, Arkansas, and they had a contest where you could drop your receipt in and put your name and stuff on it. And before we got home, we had won, and when we got back, before we got back home the second time, we had won again. So I don't remember, it was like $250 worth of groceries we ran right there just at one time. It was unreal. Our thing was pulled out both times in the same day. But I
don't remember that at all. Blog Talk Mama, your mic is open.
No, I don't remember that. I remember something about it, but y'all are just blessing me and drilling my soul with the memories that you've said. That is, you know, we've been really blessed, and not in a braggadocious way, but we've never had to be on, you know, any type of charity or anything. And we've been, not to say anything against people that do, if they need it, I'm thankful that it's there. You knew about the little clubhouse that the Lord laid on my heart to start in the trailer park. And the children were coming up to me and wanting to know what we were going to do for Christmas, what we were going to do for Christmas. And as you know, basically, I don't celebrate Christmas. And I really didn't know what to tell them. And then they wanted to know what Santa Claus was going to bring them. And I really didn't know. I didn't want to get crossed up with all the parents because, you know, I really know that's not right. And So anyway, this lady, her name is, the organization that she's with is WHOA, W-H-O-A, and she's the founder of it. It's Women Hearing, Obeying, and Action. And yeah, Lane Craft is her name. And to make a long story short, she and another lady named Debbie Greenhill and their family and their sponsors and their churches brought every family in the trailer park an entire Thanksgiving dinner. It's called the Kroger Feast. It was everything, all the trimmings they brought to them, and then they brought Sunday and today they brought 60 children, any children that were connected to that trailer park. They brought each child over $25 or $50 worth of gifts.
They're doing better than Kevin.
$6,000 that they put in to that trailer park. And the children would not have had Christmas. These parents were calling me and telling me, we cannot get our kids anything. And I'm in a dilemma because I don't, you know my convictions, so I didn't know what to do. So it's like the Lord just took it off of me so I wouldn't have to say no to the children. And then everything worked out. So isn't that interesting? Because a lot of them were laid off. Some of them were sick. Some of them had had surgery. The parents I'm talking about. And the Lord, I feel like it was God that gave these children something that they could build their trust or build their faith. And there's some really generous people. It gave me an insight that I don't think I've ever had to the generosity of people.
Yeah, people really do. Especially there's something about Christmas that makes, you know, everybody get into that mode of caring about their fellow man.
It's what you said when you wrote the whole story. There is a spirit of love, you know, yeah. And it may get sidetracked. That's one of the most beautiful. I want you to be sure and send me a copy of that. It's just wonderful. I'm going to read it to the children.
Well, they may not be as impressed since they're not my mom.
No, you know, that was inspired. It was very, very good. And I loved everything you said, Wild Bill, at the beginning of the program.
I was just thinking, you know, we've kind of talked around it and everything, but do you mind taking a few moments, unless we got somebody else that has something to add, explain what it is about your conviction with Christmas and the history of Christmas, you know, where it came from.
Confused.
So people don't just think it's your... She's confused. People think it's just weird or something. You know, we don't want them to understand, you know, the basis for where you're coming from.
Well, personally, I had never heard that there was anything wrong with Christmas. But as Joy put into her story, all of my Christmases had ended on a very negative note. When people start drinking, and they start fighting with each other, and tearing down the Christmas tree and cussing and screaming and don't talk to each other for, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And what really wasn't even the personality of some of my families, just they couldn't drink. And when they tried around the holidays, it turned into a nightmare. So when I went to a church, there's several. There's Seventh-day Adventists have a wonderful whole series of articles on the paganism that's been attached to Christmas, and of course the Jehovah's Witnesses do, but they're not my favorite people. If Joy can remember our experience in on Roxanne Court, they would not leave. Joy, do you remember?
I think I got them mixed up with the Mormons, but I do have some kind of memory.
I got good memories of the Mormons, but that the others, they wouldn't leave, and you thought it was so amusing. I couldn't make them leave. Anyway, but I read their articles, and then we attended the church in Beebe, Arkansas, where they, and there's a lot of apostolic churches, Pentecostal apostolic, I don't know about a lot, but there is a line of apostolic Pentecostals that believe that to touch anything that has been polluted by paganism is part of the breaking commandments in the Bible where the Lord says, come out, be ye separate, touch not those things that are unclean, speaking in the spiritual side of it. Then historically, if you study it, if anybody studies it out, there's no doubt about it that when Constantine, the church had, and the Jewish people and the church had been tremendously persecuted through the ages, and then when Constantine wanted to make it a more peaceful thing, he wanted everybody to get along, and so with the Catholic Church, the paganism, the idolatry as far as their statues and all of those things, and then the Jews had their feast days, and so these pagan people had their idols and their gods, and so they just wanted to bring it all into one big thing, and Christmas was, anybody can know that it wouldn't have been, Jesus would not have been born in the dead of winter, and so they just, it just made it convenient. Also, the three wise men didn't come to the stable. They came when Jesus was almost 2 years old. And so it just became sort of like we would say a half-truth or a part-truth. And we say, is it a truth or is it a lie? You know, it's either all true or it's not. And then the Santa Claus thing and then the commercial thing. And so we were taught that the best thing for a Christian to do was just come out away from it, separate yourself, have the family tradition, but don't get involved in all of the other things. And I agree with that. I think it's a beautiful thing. But then you find yourself in a dilemma where you're me, not you, or not anybody else. I am so thankful that on this time of the year, all around the world, no matter how much, well, Paul made a statement in the Bible. He said, some preach Christ for strife, some for contention. But Paul said, I just thank God that Christ is preached. So out of the whole thing, you got to see is the song that you chose to start the program. It's the greatest story that ever was, the greatest story ever told, the incarnation of God, Christ in man, our hope of glory. So where I am right now is I'm still not going to do it as far as me personally, but I'm not going to condemn it. I don't want to hurt anyone. I don't want to fight it. I don't believe I've ever said anything to you, Joy, about, you know, well, you shouldn't be doing that, or I don't think that's right. You know, I totally, there's a scripture, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. If you do it for any other reason than because you love God or you see it yourself, then it's religion. That's my conviction about it. And like you said so beautifully in that story, we never lost anything by leaving.
No, I think that it may have even, especially from your point of view, because you might have felt a certain amount of stress, you must have, with the Christmases you gave, with all the different kinds of candy and perfect tree and millions of presents for both of us, it was probably a release for you, and it got you out of the thing with Grandma and them, so therefore we could enjoy all the good things of Christmas probably more for having given it up.
Oh,
given up
yeah.
The pagan part.
It did give us a bond. Somehow we were bonded. Just all the pleasantness of it. And y'all had a blast buying whatever you wanted to. You know, you got three times as much, it seemed like, because it was the after Christmas sale. I think now they do that before Christmas, sort of, you know, to try to get
the jump. What, Bill?
They still do it after, too, to get rid of all the stuff that's left that they've already made their profit off of. They mark it down to get it out of the store. You remember that time, Rhonda, when Dad took us to the store in BB? We needed some winter boots and new coats, and the store man walked up to us and said, because we were kind of new to the whole thing in BB. I think it was our first year there. And so we didn't really know what to say when people say, well, are you going to have a good Christmas or anything like that? And this guy walked up to us and said, oh, you getting this for Christmas? And Dad just looked at me in that real dry voice and said, we don't celebrate Christmas. And the look on that guy's face was like, I'm sorry I asked. Well, you know, what do I say now?
Yeah.
You know, he didn't know what to say. It's like the year me and Stella was traveling down to her brother's during Christmas. All the kids were gone doing something, and we stopped and ate in this restaurant. And I told the lady at the cashier, I said, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. And she got telling me of everyone had died that year and how this was, she was going to be alone for the first time ever. Christmas had always been a big thing, and it had a family tragedy, and her family had all died. I'm like, wow, I wish I hadn't asked. That's a bummer, you know. I was trying to cheer somebody up as we're leaving the restaurant, you know. It's funny how you can look at things from different viewpoints. Did anyone else have anything? Or I hope we get a lot of callers on this tonight.
Does anybody else want to say something? You can press 1 and we'll bring you on. We've got about 10 minutes left, so you got a Christmas memory. You better get it in there, or anything that you want to say about Christmas. Nope, nobody's raising their hand.
Well, while they're trying to decide, I was listening to a radio show yesterday, and these people were talking about the political structure, how the people are complaining about nativity scenes around courthouses and Capitol buildings and things like that. And all these church people were calling in, and they were just, you know, ripping down their governor, their judges, and all this thing had to do with politics. And, you know, I think it's kind of neat. I remember as we were little, I see the state capitol. And we would do the red and green when the lights would change. Do you remember that? We'd
right,
go through the
yep.
nativity scene at the state capitol. But the
yep.
part, the thing that bothers me about that is we live in a country that if they wanted to, they could put a nativity scene in their front yard every day of the year. But instead, they got flamingos and snowmen and the fake snow and Merry Christmas. And, you know, all these people coming to these talk shows and talking about, Jesus is supposed to be the reason for the season. I'm like, well, why don't you have that in your front yard or on your door? Why don't you say Jesus is the reason for the season? Why don't you have a scripture up there? You know, why don't you say joy to the world, peace on earth, goodwill to men? Things of scripture.
That's funny. Mama,
is.
Do you remember that? Well, probably the ones who are calling in complaining about it do. But I really do like Blog Talk Mama's attitude about that, to do what you think is right and let everybody else do what they do and not get into, you know, to so that we can stay in that spirit of loving. But I knew someone, I don't know if Mama remembers this, whenever I was in high school, who believed that exactly the opposite. He did believe in the pagan roots of Christmas, so he didn't want to mix Jesus in with it at all. He only believed in the doing it as, okay, this is a holiday, and I'm accepting that it's an American holiday, but I'm not in any way going to connect Jesus to it. He didn't believe in nativity scenes and things like that.
Interesting.
I know. Everybody's got their own little
take. We're all twisted. What does the Bible say? To every man he sees himself as being right, or they're right in their own mind, or something like that.
Every man's ways are right in their own eyes, but the end
yeah.
are the ways of death. So we really need to take it seriously. But the negative, the arguing, you know, there's people that will argue over, like you just said, about somebody else not doing something like they think they should, but they aren't taking. What's that, clean up your own backyard, you know?
Doesn't it get right back into the discussion we've had about distraction? People love to find something that just doesn't even matter, that they can just sit back and give a big rant about what somebody else is doing, and it's distracting them from what they need to be thinking about.
That's true. That
what they need
true.
To be
yeah.
dealing with. Yeah.
Well, I would
the one thing, I wish y'all were all here with me, it is snowing snowflakes right now about the size of silver dollars. Which I guess most people don't know what a silver dollar is. It's just beautiful. And the salt trucks have done their job. They got the salt down. So I've got the hammer down flying across here up through these. It's beautiful because with the lights that out across here and everything, the snow is so white, it just really, everything just glows. It's
that's
interesting.
Pretty.
And I love Christmas lights. I'm not trying to put that down, but I just thought it was sort of a, I never would have thought about that other guy. That's interesting, but it seems kind of hypocritical to sit there because we are living in a time to where there's a warfare going on against anything that has any symbolism to do with anything of God. And, you know,
right.
the Bible, you know, talks about those things. And but it, I don't know, it's like you say, you can argue about anything, the political issues and things. That's one of the things that first got us, you know, interested in even doing the Blog Talk show, because so many people, I don't care what you believe, and that's one of the things that really gets down to the base of it is faith. You're going to believe in something. You know, you build up every thought process you have based on your faith on something, you know, whether the Christmas thing is, you know, it's a time to acknowledge and remember, you know, the birth of Jesus. And you know, wow. I mean, you know, that was the beginning, you know, of the Messiah, you know, coming to save his people. So like you say, it's the greatest story ever told. But I think the Bible actually has scripture that talks about, you know, not acknowledging his birth to be glad that he died and rose again or something like that. I'm paraphrasing awfully here. But you know what I'm talking about your blog top, Mom?
Well, there's really no place where he says to commemorate his birth is to commemorate his death. That's the communion service, the Lord's table. And that's really the only time that he told us to remember, because as we do that, then we take in layers and layers of what God is, the whole purpose of him coming here, to redeem us and buy back humanity that was lost in the fall. And I just am very impressed with this program, with both of you and Wild Bill and Joy. You work beautifully together.
You're prejudiced.
No, I'm not. It's excellent. It's just excellent. Hope you continue this.
It was funny that her favorite show, though, was the one where everybody called in singing her praises. You noticed that, didn't you, Joy? It's the best show you guys ever had.
Change the name of that one to Thank God for Blog Talk Mom.
Yeah, really.
I don't accept the compliment well. And I don't know what to say. I mean, it seems so...
They had a point, didn't they?
I don't know. It just seems wrong to... I mean, I appreciate any compliment, but I've never... felt. The only two people really that can make me feel like wonderful are you two, because you're the most important things and people in my life.
Plus, it's so hard to get a compliment out of me.
Oh, I'm so proud of y'all. I really want to say that from the bottom of my heart. You know, in dealing, I'm fortunate that God's let me deal with women coming out of prison and you know, working with children, and I, you know, you just really don't have any problems after you hear what some people go through. I mean, it's uncanny. We have been spared through the years, and the rest of the story with your dad, for those that would not know, was God ordained for me to get to be there in the home when you and Wild Bill was there, and we were together, and it was one of the most beautiful presence of peace and love that was there, and God really blessed, and your dad, it was just, there's no words to express the miracle that took place that day.
He got exactly what he asked for. You know, he prayed. You know, there were certain things that were important to him, family being around, it just, the thing with Uncle Stanley, he thought that was the worst, to die alone and no one know.
Flop over.
And everything, yeah.
He won't flop over and nobody be there.
And that happens a lot, you know, but the Lord just honored him, and we were all there. I mean, it was just amazing how many people were drawn, his best friends and his family, and everyone had respect and honored him. And that's what he...
Well, most of us did. I'm being sarcastic. I had to do it. Sorry.
It went over our heads.
It did move.
You know, one of the things that we have to remember, you know, we can remember not having a lot of money, but we did have that $2 or $1 to go get the 5 hamburgers and things like that. There's a lot of people that don't have anything.
Yeah, and then you ate them on the way home.
I ate one of mine on the way home. There was 3 of us. I got 2 of the 5. I made the trip.
That's right. You needed fuel.
Do you remember the odd og, Richie?
The odd what?
The odd og. You wanted an odd og. Remember that little toy? And he threw it. You threw it at it. You know, it was supposed to be like a little bowling thing. And if you hit it right, will it come towards you? I mean, you was getting up off that floor. I mean, that thing come toward you. It did look horrible. That was funny. Then Richie, Rhonda, you opened his present that one time.
Oh, I still feel bad about that. Your fault, though, because you put R. Lively in, which was both of us.
That was not smart.
I didn't remember.
And he always saved his best to last.
Yeah, next week the show is going to be on an issue of the overcrowdedness in the jail and how the government and politicians are dealing with that. We had some people 2 or 3 weeks ago like, I want to call the show. I want to talk about this. So we need to remind those people to come back. And I want to thank everybody tonight for listening. I pray that everybody has a blessed and Merry Christmas. And know, especially for our military, our prayers are with you. And Joy, as always, you're awesome. I really enjoyed you sharing that with us. And if you would post that on the blog page for everybody, I think that would be fitting to put on your place page. So, but anyway,
what
Lord bless y'all. The thing that you wrote.
Oh, okay. And I'll see you guys in a little over a week.
All
yeah,
right.
Yeah, somebody's turning 70 years old.
Yeah. I was pushing 70. Now I'm catching up with it. I can't get in the chat room because I had to get my phone away from the computer.
Oh, okay. Well, nobody ever showed up but me and you. I was sure glad that we were there last week when that soldier showed up.
Oh, yeah. Me too. That was excellent.
Hopefully he's in the next bunch that got to go home. They were trying to get all of them home for Christmas. But like I say, Billy found out the unit's over 5,000 people and they're only able to get them home like 100 or 200 at a time. So
He thought he was coming in January.
Yeah. But he doesn't know it's safe side. They were still trying to get everybody in. So.
We through?
Anyway, I love all you guys. And thank you so much for calling in and being part of the show. We're coming up on our 1 year. And I saw we had 1,000 that listens or something on there. So.
No, 1,000 have looked at your profile, but I think we were at 870 listens right now. And our first show was February 10th, but we weren't regular. You know, we didn't do it every week right there at the beginning. But our very first show was February 10th.
I'm hoping it still records because I didn't remind everybody of the password again on the supplements.com. But it's your place, one word, they get an additional 10% discount. And a free blender bottle if they order 5 pounds of protein. So I'm hoping that went out there for all those people that were standing looking at that. Sorry. But it was only the week before, so they can email me or check back in. But, hey, I love you guys, and I hope that y'all have a blessed time together. It looks like my holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas, is going to be out here tooling down the road. And going to Massachusetts is not very conducive to them getting me home. So.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. At least I got a job and I'm working.
Well, we love you, and you please be careful on that ice with other people don't know how to drive.
I was going to say, you talk about the love of people and everything. I went to a tow booth and I had this car went from 3 lanes over. I had to slam on the brakes to squeeze in front of me between the concrete barricade to go through the tow booth I was going through, because it's one you can go through faster. Mm-hmm. If you got a pre-pass, you don't have to put no money in. And so I don't know how they managed to squeeze in here without me hitting them, but they did. I'm like, that's the Christmas spirit right there. Love you, buddy.
It doesn't spread to everybody, that's for sure. But there's really a lot of benevolent people, and I'm really surprised, to tell you the truth, because like I said, I've never been in that circle. Ron and both of y'all, let me know if there's anything I need to be planning or doing or, you know, for the big day.
We need to get with Billy and James because there was some kind of confusion with their job. I don't know exactly what it was. Billy called me today, and so I don't know what it is.
They both have to do something, but we really don't need to be on the radio show chatting about this, do we?
You're right about that.
Well, I didn't know if it was streaming, if we were still recording or not. So.
Okay.
But, yeah, anyway, we're all going to be down there for Blog Talk Mom's birthday. I'll be there with Bell, if you can count on it. So.
All right. Okay. God bless y'all. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Love you. Bye-bye.